B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Patriots tailored their game plan for bad weather last night in Buffalo and ran the football. As a result, the Buffalo Bills wound up putting 10 players within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage on defense to try and stop it. And the Patriots still executed.
Toss comes to the near side for Harris. He runs through a big hole, and he's gone to the 50. A burst to the 40. Alone to the 20. Damien Harris to the house. Touchdown, Patriots.
What a block by Jakob Johnson.
That's Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Damien Harris's touchdown run was the big play of a surprising 14-10 win over the Bills on Monday Night Football. Mac Jones threw three passes as his team ran the ball 46 times for 222 yards on the high wind. Patriots have won seven straight. They're 9-4, which is good enough for a game-and-a-half lead in the division and sole possession of the top seed in the AFC with four games left. They have this weekend off, and they'll visit Indianapolis a week from Saturday. Celtics continue their five-game road trip against the Lakers tonight. Jaylen Brown questionable with his sore hamstring. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 9:30 and the tip-off at 10 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins were without six players at practice yesterday, but Tuukka Rask was in net. He joined his former teammates on the ice as an emergency backup goaltender because Linus Allmark was out, also missing practice. Patrice Bergeron, Charlie Coyle, Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, and Thomas Nosek. And the Boston Sports Journal and others are reporting that the Red Sox have had interest in free agent shortstop Trevor Story. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Rapid Flow Sewer and Drain Cleaning. Mark Meads and his team have more experience than any other drain company and will ensure you never have another backup again. Call 800-286-FLOW or visit rapidflowinc.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston Hill for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7:30.
Make your smart speaker sports smart.
Of course they're saying goblins. It could be nothing else.
Listen to the Sports Hub anywhere on Alexa or your Google smart speaker. To make a great sports talk radio show work, you got to know when to talk.
Did you take anything specifically away from that game?
And when to listen.
What did we really learn about this team yesterday?
John, that is the exact question Rich just asked.
Thanks.
Is that right?
For listening.
How did I miss that?
To Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap by Cardona from the left hash. In place. The kick. A line drive headed to the uprights is good. Folk continues his remarkable run of consistency in 2021. His 33rd field goal, a league high.
That's real. You know, this is we are what our record says we are, as they say.
At the 50-yard line, you are trespassing. Get off the field. Attention. Get off the field.
Yeah, I mean, we've been inconsistent and, you know, again, opportunities to win the game.
Is on its way.
Opportunities.
Off the field.
Opportunities to win the game.
Attention. Get off the field.
And, you know, again, you go back and you look at it from a stats standpoint and you say, hey, do we have opportunities to win the game? You're darn right we did.
Is this a stink?
No, this is Linkin Park. Breaking the Habit? Is that what this is?
I thought this was Hoobs for a second.
Well, I mean, listen. Linkin Park wishes they were the stank.
Well, they wish they had that ballad.
And the reason is you.
That Sean McDermott clip's going to make me laugh every time.
Yeah, attention. You with the dildo.
The party's closed. Time to go home now.
Or you could take one of the 5 billion security guards and get the guy off the field.
I want to know who the guy was on the field. Like, is there a video of that? Like, this I need to see.
No. All right. We're the Toucher and Rich here. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ted Johnson, nice enough to join us.
How about that?
After a late night.
What a lunch pail guy. He was, an hour and a half you slept last night?
Well, pretty much.
All right.
Yep. As opposed to us. Who got
That's right. Whoever's that. Okay. Well, right. We're used to it and ugly.
It's
so.
brought to you by Boston Pro. Well, I don't know what Ted would look like if he wasn't so damn muscular. Ted is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy, tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, torn rotator cuff, arthritis, pain in any joint, do what Ted Johnson did. Eliminate your pain with just 5 treatments with Boston Prolotherapy. Teddy J, fresh off the party where he was dancing and grooving at the Christmas party.
Good for you.
He was Zolak's wingman.
Mm-hmm. Old times, like old times.
Zolak getting him up on stage for his big birthday. And
yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
So
yeah, Zoe had for a period of time there at the party, he had access. He was the one running the music, so it was coming through his phone. So whatever he was able to do, Bluetooth his way into the and basically supersede anything the DJ was playing.
So hang on. Did he tell the DJ, hey, man, I want to play this music.
I got this.
He was going up there a lot, and I think there was some issues there.
Really, Ted, he was going up there a lot?
He was going up there a lot.
There's still video evidence of that.
He's still going up to the stage, and I think him and the DJ, maybe we're on the same page. And Zoe probably he has an idea
forced,
in his
forced
brain.
To be on the same page.
Right. You can see he has a way in which he feels the party should be going. And if it's not going that direction, he's going to intervene.
Okay. So, Ted, there was on the Facebook page of someone we work with, a bunch of different videos of Scott Zolak, and I'm clicking through, and I think there were seven. And as I'm clicking through, each one has Scott Zolak on the microphone yelling. And each one, it was a different song, which means for at least seven different songs, he was on the microphone yelling at the holiday party. Mm-hmm. That is what? Over 30-something minutes, I would guess?
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Definitely. At what was there a point where you noticed that the crowd might have just been turning?
No, I think maybe he was just doing it for me. He could have been just me and Zoe in that room all by ourselves. Because, I mean, he was, you know, every song you put on there, he's looking for affirmation for me. I'm like, yeah, bro. I mean, we broed it up really hard. And so
I didn't notice. Ted, I was there. Yeah, no.
It was pretty pathetic. Okay, good. All right. Okay. All right. No, I deserve my balls busted. It was pretty
pathetic.
Nobody
was going to say anything to either one of you.
Yeah.
Like at that point, no one was going to, you know.
Yeah. And at that moment in time, I'm not going to lie, I just thought everybody was really entertained when they weren't. Absolutely. And I didn't realize.
We were very entertained.
Okay, good.
Well, it'd be just when the people from the other radio station were trying to talk and Scott commandeared the microphone.
Yeah.
That might have.
There are some hard feelings there, by the way.
Was there? Oh, okay. Yeah.
We found that out yesterday. There are some hard feelings from the other station.
Which there should be. That. You know, they're in the middle of something they prepared. I saw the video. Oh, he literally takes the microphone out of the female co-host's hand and just starts yelling.
Okay. He wasn't interesting. He was not encouraged to go up there or...
No, you don't say. Is that right?
Well, I didn't realize
he did that on his own?
But our general manager is just like consumed with so. She thought that was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he gets positive reinforcement.
It is funny, though, because
had an issue. He didn't know about it, I'm sure.
Because if I would have done that, the reaction would not have been the same. It would not have been the same at all. All right. It was funny. John asked you off the air if you've ever played in conditions like that, and you're like, yeah, way worse. And then John looked at it and started, like, guffawing and going
not
crazy.
Not guffawing. I'm amazed. I didn't think it was possible.
You were guffawing.
What is a guffaw? Define guffaw.
Oh,
if that's a guffaw, then yes, I did say that.
Why do you take that as an insult?
No, it's not an insult. I just
misunderstood
what guffaw meant.
Oh, I'm probably well. That's you're older than me. You should have a better vocabulary.
Is guffaw a bigger laugh than a chortle?
Yeah.
A chortle is a
punchy Dan, right?
A chortle kind of has like a little bit of a grunt to it.
Okay.
Is that a chortle?
A chortle's like
I didn't grunt. There was no snorting.
No, but you played against Iowa State at Colorado, and you said you had to walk off the field backwards.
Yes. And I'm telling you, you want to see probably one of the worst conditions you've ever seen a football game being played in. 200 people showed up. 200 people at the stadium at Ames, Iowa.
That was a friends and family game.
The game
from the video
should not
I'm
have been
at.
Played, but it was. Just Google Colorado versus Iowa State 1991. And you will see exactly what I mean.
What did you see when you Googled there, Wallach? What was
There's some snow on the field, and they show plays from the game where you saw Jake Bailey shank a punt. One of the punters, and I think it was for your team, Ted, Colorado, punted. He punted it straight up, and the ball went straight down. It was the middle of the field. You could see the wind pick up the ball and slap it down about 10 yards later. Brutal wind, snow on the ground. You could at the beginning of the video, you can't really see the field because of the snow, you know, whistling past the camera.
Now, did you
it's
guys
pretty bad?
It's a blizzard.
Was the forward pass involved in this game at
no,
all?
No, God, no.
There was no forward
you
pass.
You could not throw the ball in that game. Nobody threw the ball. I'd be curious what the box score is. If there was one pass attempt, I'd be surprised.
Wow. Is there something that we don't know about, like, as someone who's played in those type of conditions, being on the field during a game like that, is there something, because obviously we know, you know, gameplay, you have to, you know, change your strategy as we saw the Patriots do last night. But is there something about being on the field that we don't know about playing in wind and snow conditions like that that we just don't think about?
Just how hard how the hits hurt more. It's just everything's frozen to your face. It just, the impact is... feels a lot worse when it's those kind of conditions. So everything gets your hands are frozen, and so anytime you go in for a hit, your fingers jam up and you can't feel your fingers. It's really, you're just trying to, how do I get some warmth to my fingertips? You know, a lot of guys wear latex gloves under their regular receiver gloves.
Yeah,
a lot of guys wear Vaseline on their face for some. I don't know, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. I never got down to that, but other than it's just everything hurts a lot more.
Okay.
And the game slows down. It's such a it goes from a fast game to almost really just, it's like guys are moving in slow motion. They're not, but it feels that way when it's that cold.
How sloppy.
I'm watching the highlights of this game, and so far it's just been a kickoff and a punt.
Right. Okay. Well, there's more plays in between, but there was a lot of
No, but it's funny. That's what they've chosen is the highlights. Look at how windy it was.
So when you saw that Bill Belichick was going to continue with this almost pure run game, where was your head at? I mean, because, this morning he's obviously being praised very much so, and as he should. I've never seen a game like that before with three passes.
Yeah, I've never either.
I mean, I guess it was, 1974? When was the last time you had a game that had, like, less than
1972,
that?
Maybe.
Yeah. So what did you think of his game plan?
Look, you know, and I said this last night on the post game on NBC Sports Boston, where I said, you know, what Bill did was all dictated. Did you think he had the game plan like that going in? Yeah. I mean, probably that day. They had to change maybe what they did all week, is my guess, and change what they wanted. But then what Bill does is he sees how his defense is going to play against the Buffalo offense. And that will dictate how he plays on offense. And so once he saw the Patriots kind of have the game in hand, at least on defense, the Bills scored on their third possession, but that was after the muff pump from N'Keal Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they weren't really doing much. And so Bill was like, why do we need – they had their average gain per play on offense, the Bills, was a total of 4 yards per play. The Patriots ran for 4.8 yards per rush attempt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so – why throw the ball when, you know, every two handoffs you're getting a first down?
Yeah.
You know? And so it became kind of a thing. It was weird. I mean, but the Bills couldn't stop them. They just couldn't stop them.
Let's break.
Why try anything different?
Yeah, let's break and then try to figure out why the Bills couldn't stop them. And also how, when you know they're going to run, you allow a 65-yard touchdown run. We'll talk about that with Ted Johnson in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Worse than me.
Tutcher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stevenson, the single back with a reset by Matt Jones. Again, he sets the protections. Turns, play fakes. Pulls up, wide open to the right. Johnny Smith juggles and makes the catch, reaching up with his right hand to bat the ball in the air, and then pulls it down with a terrific catch on a floater held up by the wind at the 47-yard line.
Weak. 13, and it's his best catch of the year.
We had a game plan, and obviously that changes a little bit with the elements, but at the end of the day, I think we had the looks that we were looking for to run the ball, and we just kept doing it. So, like I said, offensive line created the holes, and those guys did some tough running. Everyone played a role, and it was just great to watch and see everyone just have that effort.
You got to play the Judon clip again. That was funny.
You mean this one? Yeah, this is Matt Judon after the game where he's talking about how well the offense played.
You know, just hats off to the offense, really. Everybody, probably besides Matt, he really didn't do nothing besides hand the ball. You know, everybody out there was just executed when their number was called.
He's the best.
He's so comfortable here, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Smith might have jumped 2 feet in the air to get his hand on that ball. And if he didn't get on his hand on that ball gets picked. And yeah. Bill just said, you ain't throwing the ball again, kid. You ain't. As long as we can help it, you are not throwing the ball.
Do you think
Buffalo never put them in a position where they had to?
That's a great point you made. I heard it driving in, Freddie, because they are historically, or at least just this season at least, they're best when they're front runners. They do not do well when they get behind early. They have a difficult time making up a lead and taking the lead over.
During the Bills?
The Bills all season long.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you never put them in – they never – the Bills you heard the coach talk about it. The Bills had field position. They had opportunities to put points on the board. And if I believe if you get a lead in that game, well, obviously everything changes because, you know, they have invented the forward pass and now you're forced to do that. But, okay, so they're loading up the box. They know New England's running. I know how Damian Harris broke free. I know that there was one safety back and he completely misread the play and then got blocked out of it.
Yeah, yes.
Explain if you're the defensive coordinator for the Bills, is that how you're lining up if you know they're running?
You're going to pack the box like
yeah.
But the Bills wouldn't. I believe this to be the case. I'll be corrected on this later if somebody knows and that's listening, they'll let me know. But they kept their nickel package out there. So they kept their sub packages out there. That is what they predominantly run, which is five DBs. They should have had goal line off defense out there. Like most teams only run the goal line defense on a goal line, right?
Right.
But when a team is, all they're doing is just basically telling you, we're going to run the same three plays, which is what they did. They ran the power bobo, the trap, and the toss crack sweep, and they ran it to the right, they ran it to the left, and they ran each one right, left, and that's how they did the game. Adjust. The Bills is amazing. They didn't adjust on offense, and they didn't adjust on defense. They don't have the personnel. Or they weren't willing to put the personnel out there that was needed to stop what the Patriots were doing. They kept their lighter, their fronts out there and loaded the box, and the Patriots still were able to get over 200 yards on them.
Okay, so you and I were talking off the air, and you and I disagree on something. I thought that Josh Allen actually had a pretty good game, and I think that if you're a Bills fan, he's probably the last guy you can be bitching about this morning. I thought that, you know, obviously, boy, how funny was it that the one play that J.C. Jackson was off the field, I think it was Juwan Williams, who was on Stephon Diggs, like immediately when that happened, he gets open in the end zone, and it falls off of his hands.
Yep.
Great pass, by the way, by Josh Allen, but you disagree. You do not think that, matter of fact, you think that a game like last night would be concerning if you were a Bills fan about what you think of Josh Allen, correct?
Yes. There was, other than that, let's face it, the conditions were bad, but he doesn't have very good touch on the ball. And it's a game where you just need to kind of lay it in there for guys. He was rifling it in. I just thought he throws the ball too hard. But what I want to get to is the last two possessions. If you just focus on the last two possessions, their second to last possession, they got inside the 15-yard line, and it was a second and five on the five. He gets sacked by Matthew Judon.
A horrible sack.
Horrible sack.
Yeah.
The ball needs to come out fast. Nope, he holds it, and he starts retrieving backwards. Yep. Like he always does. Sack. Okay, so Tyler Bass up to kick a 33-yard field goal, the shortest field goal in his career that he has ever missed. So they miss a field goal that if they had made because they didn't take a sack, that last drive, all they had to do to win the game is kick a field goal.
Right.
And what did he do on that last drive? On that third down play, Stephon Diggs goes wide open in the middle, and he feels pressure from the outside, and it's like he retreats. instead of just stepping up confidently.
Put his head down, too. Didn't keep his eyes downfield.
If you just keep your eyes downfield, Stephon Diggs has a walk-in touchdown. That right there, you guys, is Josh Allen. I know it was impressive throwing in the wind, but when you really break it down, I just don't trust the guy. I don't.
Do you think Bill Belichick...
Those two situations are indicators on why I don't.
Do you think Bill respects him? No, you're shaking your head. No.
No. I don't think he... I really don't. I think he thinks he's too much of a... you know, too much of a gunslinger. He's not disciplined. He retreats when he feels perceived pressure that isn't there. He's just not. He doesn't stand in there. Like, you
why
need
would he retreat
there.
Too when he has the ability to pick up yards?
He doesn't like to step up into the rush. Like, so he feels pressure on the outside, and he doesn't want to step up into the line of scrimmage.
You just step up and run the ball.
Yeah,
he's 250 pounds.
You talk about another kind of just the Bills doing what they do. So you always hear this with teams that play the Patriots. If this team is going to go into the game, mm-hmm. when I hear a coach say, hey, we got this far doing it the way we do it, we're not going to change anything. You know, when they play the Patriots in the playoffs or Super Bowl, when I hear a coach say that, I'm like, you're done. You're done. You don't get it. Because if you don't adjust to what the Patriots are doing and you quote unquote do what you do, Buffalo just did what they did. They ran their normal offense. It's freaking, you can't throw the ball.
Yeah.
No dynamic runs. I thought there would be quarterback design runs.
Yes.
He had 6 rush attempts, and 5 of them were on scrambles.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's one of your best runners.
I had no in your only power runner. I mean, the only guy on that team that with any power. So so that was what I thought the key going into this game would be. One of the keys going into this game would be was his ability to run the ball. And you're right. And they were even saying it during the game. They were saying, why is he not running the ball? Why is Josh Allen, I mean, he's your power back.
They stuck with Zach Moss far too long. And we were talking about with Burden here last week, Moss was supposed to be their power back, all 210 pounds of him. And he was good last year, but not this year. And he was inactive for at least last week and maybe the week before. They activate him for this particular game. And guess what? He still can't do it. And they stuck with him way too long.
What did you think about J.C. Jackson yesterday? Because, I mean, there was a couple plays where he looked pretty good against Stephon Diggs, but I saw writers last night saying it was his best game as a Patriot. To be quite honest, I looked at him,
and then he wasn't on Diggs the whole game. I can tell you that for a fact.
No, but there were a couple plays where he had a defensed ball that was, you know, that he ended up.
Yes, he had made a very good play.
Good play there, and so that's the first one that comes to mind. But when you took a look at his play, because that was a big question coming in here.
Yes,
was that would he be able to not get embarrassed like he did the last time? And I know the wind is obviously makes it a different game.
No, but Rich, what did you think? To add to your question, the idea would be could he take Diggs? One-on-one. Mm-hmm. Is he the type of corner that can take your team's best receiver and shut him down? That was the conversation going to.
I will say this, and we just talked about the Juwan Williams play. I mean, I think that the team obviously respects J.C. Jackson because the minute he wasn't on Stephon Diggs, they targeted him immediately.
Yeah, they went at Juwan Williams, right?
Yeah.
I think J.C. Jackson's playing as good as he's ever played here, right? I mean, he's been great the 3 years he's been here, but this is, to me, has been his best year. Maybe the stats probably back it up, but he's got a ton of, it feels like interceptions all every season he's been here. And so I just think he would be more prepared to play Stephon Diggs in this game. Let's face it, the elements really favored the defense. It was very difficult.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. So, but J.C. Jackson, I think he's playing at an elite level right now. And so I just think that wasn't a mismatch for him. And I'd be curious how many times he had, you know, help. You play leverage. You play outside because you have inside help, or you play inside because you know you have outside help.
Well, he wasn't following Diggs all over the field. I mean, I do know that is that he was not on Diggs the entire game.
Because they played a lot of zone.
Yes, and so it will be interesting if they play here in a couple weeks. And by the way, I like the Patriots in that game obviously as well. But if they when they actually throw the ball, conceivably throw the ball. What will be the defensive alignment at that point?
Are you worried at all about Damian Harris? It was weird that they kept him in after it looked
really
like
weird.
He was injured.
Why do the Patriots do that?
The only thing I was thinking was that they looked at him, they talked to him, and they said, well, you know, this is a bye week coming up. And maybe he can have extra time to recover. I know hamstrings are weird, but that's the only explanation that I could think of was that they talked to Damian Harris. He said, I think I'm all right to go. And they thought, well, there's not much more in this game.
Yeah,
let's just only have a few more plays for the guy, and then he's got 2 weeks off.
My guess is Damian Harris is the kind of guy that's going to, yeah, I can play, coach. I can play. When clearly he was struggling with something, right? Yeah. And so my feeling is they trusted the player. And Damian Harris is the kind of guy, you can just see how he's wired, that he doesn't want to let the coach down. He doesn't want to. And he's been injured a lot.
100 yards.
He's been injured a lot, right? I mean, he gets nicked up a lot, doesn't it? It feels like. I mean, and so he's probably a little frustrated with that. And he thought he could go. Well, clearly he was not. He shouldn't have been out. I hope he didn't give more damage to it when on that last run out there.
I think he wanted the 100 yards. Too. I think once he got the 100 yards, he was like, okay.
Oh, and that last run he had, that put him over?
That was what put him over.
That's what put him over?
Yeah, and I think maybe at that point he was like, all right, I got my 100 yards.
And if I was him too, you know I'd be worried about, Freddie? I'd be a little bit worried about Ramondre Stevenson, who I think is the best back they have.
I think Bolden looks like the best back they have. and I'm on an island, and I know I'm crazy, and I know no one, but when Bolden has the ball in his hands, he looks very good to me.
Yeah. Well, he's out there on their sub packages, so there's they got.
You don't have to indulge me. Okay. I know I'm on an island, but Bolden looks really good with the ball in his hands. Okay. That's all I can say. You don't think so?
No, I do.
I think Ramondre Stevenson's their best back. A guy who can run through contact, a guy who has some breakaway speed.
He does it. You don't
Brandon
know he has
Brandon Bolden is an edge of the NFL back who's a third down back that wouldn't be playing if James White didn't get hurt.
But when he has the ball in his hands, he looks shifty. He does.
He's been great this year. He's been fun.
Now watch, I'll get killed on Twitter for saying that he's good.
he's been fine.
Yeah. All right, well, Stevenson's been fine.
He's even better back than Brandon Bolden.
Well, that's craziness. You can't say that.
Okay.
Bolden was destined for this to start. He was good. He was far more than a special
team. Bill was holding him back, and injury to White forced his hand.
Well, I don't know if White's injured. Maybe it was
that's on me. I didn't think of that.
Maybe they lost a bet and they just wanted to pay him through the season. But I don't know. I like Bolden with the ball in his hands. I think he looks good.
All right.
And I stand by that. And every time I see him with the ball in his hands, I go, the kid looks good with the ball in his hands.
Stand by it. That was your take 6 weeks ago, and that remains your take today.
Well, I don't know.
Good for you.
I just like the crew from ESPN when Stevenson got in the game. They're like, you got to see this guy. Get out of here with that.
I just like they're actually having this discussion after years of sitting there going, boy, is Sony Michel any good? Now we got like three guys. We're saying, hey, wow, which one is the best of the good ones?
That's right.
You know what? That offensive line, what they were able to do yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Harris's touchdown was all that offensive line. I mean, he didn't have to do anything.
Just cut back. That's all he had to do.
Well, wasn't that designed? Wasn't that a designed cutback?
Based on the pursuit. He's reading the linebacker. He over-pursued. You cut the back.
Right.
That's what you do.
I mean, he ran through the Grand Canyon there. I don't know. I stand by my Bolden. You with your Stevenson nonsense. Everybody with their Stevenson nonsense. He's not fast. But now listen, the Bills could have used him.
You're damn right, they
the Bills. Yeah. The Bills. The Bills should have drafted him.
The Bills were missing.
Bills should have drafted. If they had a third round pick, I don't know if they did, but they should have taken him in the third round, not letting him fall to the Patriots.
It is amazing. The Buffalo Bills do not have much in the way of really good offensive linemen. And they're not a dedicated running team, and they don't have a very creative run scheme.
Well, that's what I said the whole week. I said, how did they build this team to go to the playoffs, to play in Orchard Park, and in the playoffs really to play anywhere, without any sort of option of a power running game, with any any option of being physical? I mean, they were pushed around yesterday. I mean, completely pushed around.
The thinking, Fred, is that they built their team to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. Right?
Yeah.
So keep up scoring-wise, and you have a smaller defense that gets after the passer. But you really should be building your team around beating the Patriots because you play them twice a year in your division.
Winning your division.
Yeah.
Or playing in those elements.
Or playing in those elements. Absolutely.
When we get back, I want to ask you about these Sean McDermott post-game comments.
Unreal.
And what it would be like as a player right now in that locker room if you're in the Buffalo Bills.
I got thoughts on that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a guy who's pissed off at his team. That's a guy that's...
Shots at Brian Daboll.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. He took a shot at his offensive coordinator.
I did not know that they were running a sub package on defense for most of the game. I did not know that they were running an undersized sub package.
Yep.
That's inexcusable.
right? They didn't make adjustments, Fred. I mean, we do what we do. We're the second best defense in the league.
How about just add one extra linebacker? Right.
I mean, like N'Keal Harry is on the field. Yeah. He's not going out for – they're not throwing the ball.
I love how you said, yeah, goal line package. It's that easy.
It's that easy. Yeah. You have every team has a goal line package.
And then what's the worst-case scenario? Like, what do you think Mac's going to do against you in the win?
Oh, and when we get back – on the Manning cast, one of their guests confirms a conspiracy theory that Ted Johnson has had for weeks now.
Wow. Yes.
For weeks.
All right. Is it really? Is it the one about Bill?
Don't spoil it. Yep.
I feel like I'm onto something with
don't
that.
You, I, there's no question. And I've believed it ever since you said, because the evidence is there. All right. We'll take
okay. it. All right. There's so much mystery. There's so much mystery in the air here on the Toucher and Rich Show. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Josh Allen waiting on the snap. We'll see if the Pats rotate back. He takes the snap. The Patriots come with 3B. Extra rushers. A throw down the middle, and it's knocked incomplete by Miles Bryant. The Patriots brought Devin McCourty on the blitz. And Allen threw toward the left side of the hash marks at the 5. And Miles Bryant was the only player nearby as he swatted it down.
Not much of a last pass by Josh Allen there. It is the Toucher and Rich radio program. Ted Johnson is in studio, 3-time Super Bowl champion, award-winning dancer. Rich, there was a conspiracy theory that was uncovered yesterday.
There was a conspiracy theory. So if you watch the Manning cast, in which, by the way, there was one moment that we have to talk about next hour that is legitimately ESPN freaking out. We will do that. And Aqib Talib, he was one of the guests. And I have to be honest, you know, whatever about the Manning cast, I know it's doing well. I saw somebody say this last night and I couldn't agree more. I would, instead of watching a Manning cast, I'd rather watch a version of it where it was just Aqib Talib and Marshawn Lynch. I'd actually pay to see those two watching a game together. Way more than anything that the Mannings would do. But Aqib Talib was on there. And he was asked on the Manning cast whether Bill Belichick was involved in the defense. And Aqib Talib said, don't get it twisted. Bill is the defensive coordinator now.
Yes, gotcha.
And you have been saying that since the Dallas game.
Since 3rd and 25. Dallas game,
But that play was the one where you know that he took a look probably at Stephen Belichick and was just like, all right, dude, you've had your fun. I'm taking over. Yeah. And really, since that moment, everything changed. And I know you have mentioned, you know, whether or not you've seen his fingerprints on all of this, but Aqib Talib last night said, don't get it twisted. Bill's the defensive coordinator here. So a little bit of validation for you, Mr. Ted Johnson.
A lot of people, I was the only one that, you know, was thinking that, but it's just clear and obvious to people that know how this defense typically looks that Bill took over, because it looks totally different. This last 6 games versus the first 6 games. And so to me, after that Dallas game, it was like, all right, they gave up a franchise record amount of yards, almost 560 yards of total offense to the Dallas Cowboys, that Bill said enough is enough.
Yeah.
And so they're more disciplined, they're just more synchronized. They're playing a lot of zone, which is very difficult to play because there's so much nuance to it. And so only Bill, I think, could coach those guys to figure out zone on the fly, because it's such a heavy man-to-man defense typically.
So let's talk about the aftermath. Afterwards, Sean McDermott, first of all, during the entire game, he was losing his mind on the side. I mean, the guy, he's got to calm down.
That's why I think the Miles Bryant personal foul, I think that was him getting paid off for all his bitching. It was such a bad personal foul call, Miles Bryant with two hands.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know what? He's been working the refs the whole game.
Yep.
And so they finally threw him a, you know, threw him a bone with, yeah, which, with that personal foul call, I thought.
So after the game, he lost his mind. And, you know, because you know the narrative this morning is going to be obviously that Bill Belichick ended up adapting to what was going on around him. And Sean McDermott showed up and said, here's our game plan. This is what we're going to do. And you mentioned how important even things like the two-point conversion was after the first, after that Damian Harris touchdown. They didn't want to kick it into the wind. Let's go for the two-point conversion. That ended up being huge. It was a massive, massive moment in that game. And by the way, Greg Bedard put something out there, which I did not know. And I don't know if you can fault McDermott for this as well, but he said, due to a rule change a few years ago, the Bill, since they deferred, can choose to either A, kick off or receive, or B, which end to defend. Mm-hmm. So the Bills could have the wind if they wanted it in the fourth quarter. Think McDermott knows this. Now, what that would mean, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm reading this correctly, is that McDermott could choose whether to kick it off so you get the ball first in the second half, or was it more valuable to have that wind in the fourth quarter?
More valuable have the wind in the fourth quarter.
Well, then you can put that another mark against McDermott then.
It's like not even close, Rich. What is more important? Okay, you want to get that ball to start the second half. You think that's important? And it is, typically, most times. But not in conditions like that.
No, it's not when you're not throwing the ball. No.
Hey, you want to be able to have the wind at your sails, at your back, in the fourth quarter.
So McDermott obviously not very happy with how things went and is probably not already realizing that everyone's going to talk about what a genius Bill Belichick is. Here's what McDermott said after the game.
Yeah, it's not. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone, and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
Oof. Ooh, he's wound up tight. He got out-coached in that game, man, and he does not want to admit it. He doesn't. And, you know, it's funny. You heard the comments from the two safeties, too, going after the beat writer for asking them if they were embarrassed.
We have that, too.
And I just think they get to take their cues from the head coach. You know, all the Patriots, they all talk like Bill does. Oh, Bill, we trust, right? And so they all are drinking the Kool-Aid. Most players usually kind of, you know, follow the lead of the head coach. He's wound up so tight. I think he's got his players wound up tight. And so this was a huge game for them. Just to validate that they are a legit team, that they're here to stay, that, you know, Josh Allen deserved the money he got, and that they're a contender in the AFC. And they blew it, man.
But it's still the Bills.
Called it a potential franchise changer, and I don't think that that's even speaking too much of hyperbole, because think about it. Coming in, as you talked about the expectations, Josh Allen was supposed to be the MVP of the league.
Went to the AFC Championship game last year. It was going to be them in Kansas City again, and they got off to that great start. I mean, there are times where you lose a game that you look back on it, especially because they have to go to Tampa Bay this weekend and could very well lose that game. All of a sudden, you're 7-6 after that great start you had, and you got out-physical, you got beat up on your own home field, you had the better quarterback, the better roster, the elements, the other team couldn't throw a pass, you had a guy who could, and you still lost. That is a loss that could potentially change the future of your team based on what Micah Hyde said after the game. McDermott lost his crap. I mean, there is a path here that the Bills can go down where they spin out of control and into a ditch.
I've always thought too, Ted, and maybe you can confirm this for me, is that if you're a player on the Bills, you're already just like paper thin hanging in there as far as I'm a team player, because nobody wants to play for the Bills. Nobody wants to be there. And the only thing that keeps them from losing it and trying to fire their way off the team to go somewhere else is winning. If you're winning and you're in the conversation for winning, then that's one thing. But if you continue and they end up losing this game to Tampa Bay, I mean, you're already seeing the sniping in the locker room. Mm-hmm. What's a loss next week going to do for this team?
Yeah, well, they're on edge. They're on edge. So clearly, you know, you talk about Bill Belichick being in the heads of other coaches. Clearly, he's chilling out in his brain right now. Sean McDermott or Bill Belichick is chilling out in his brain because he knew right away that this game was going to be framed as a great game plan by Bill Belichick, and he was asked about it, and he didn't want to hear any of it. And I just think that clearly shows he's impacted by just being demoralized by Bill Belichick and the Patriots in his short tenure here with the Bills.
Did you hear when he was asked about why he didn't or why he made inactive his two returners?
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was revealing.
Here's the answer.
Yeah, the same reason that they turned it over. The same reason that they turned it over on their punt return team. I wasn't willing to do that. So I want to put a guy back there that I trusted that was going to make good decisions with the ball.
Wow.
Oh, he's going to be fine. They're going to be just fine.
Shots at decisions the Patriots were making and you lose?
Oh, and shots at your own returners.
Yeah. No, right. That franchise was rock solid. They're on even footing.
I want to put guys back there that I trusted. So not only did you, you know, take a
shot. Who else would you trust back there to return punts if it's not your punt returners?
Well,
right?
He didn't want to screw up like the N'Keal Harry did, which, by the way, that was obviously awful. That was no good. That wasn't good.
He's a good blocker.
Yeah.
They had him in there blocking the night away.
Well, that's why, you know, it was such a mystery whether or not they were going to run it when N'Keal Harry was in there.
Yeah, I mean, who would have known? Who could have figured it out? But, you know, they were out physical, and the physical play, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't hang.
So what are you feeling now? I mean, this was the big one. This was against, in the toughest of conditions, against the toughest opponent that you're going to play, and they've won 7 in a row now. Like, now there's that's not a game that leaves a question mark.
You know, I'm pretty convinced that they're the best team in the AFC. So I've been saying that for a couple weeks already. I just think they clicked, they found it, they are all believing in themselves, and they have this kind of hokey, if you wanted to say, we love each other, we enjoy playing for each other thing. Okay. That stuff works. I don't even care if it's at the pro level. That stuff works. So they're feeling it, man. They're all buying in. And so I just think this team's playing at an elite level right now. I think the offense is clicking, and I think the defense is just balling out, man. Compared to where they were the first 6 games, they are a completely different defense in the back end and in the rush this last 6 games.
Do you think that Mac in any sort of way is, I don't know, he almost seems like the perfect quarterback to not be offended when he's asked to only throw 3 passes.
Yeah.
You know, I almost
probably
think that,
relieved.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be part of it. But, I mean, you know, think about it. If there aren't a lot of rookies that can come in and not feel almost slighted that you were asked to basically do nothing. And I'm wondering if that's just because they knew he'd be able to handle that. Like, what I mean?
No. They ran because they didn't have to throw. They ran because they were never put in a position to throw.
But you agree that there would be other quarterbacks that would take that personally.
But a rookie? I don't care what a rookie quarterback has to say to me. If I'm Mac Jones, I'm relieved. I don't want to throw in that crap. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to it. I don't want that.
Do you know what my brain is?
Put me in Indianapolis in that dome and let me throw there.
There is one other theory I want to throw out there. Just, if I were him, this would be in the back of my mind. Tell me what you think. What did Mac Jones do last week that kind of caught people by surprise?
Last week?
Oh, yeah. Did he put the copyright stuff?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm Mac Jones, I'm going, ooh, was that a bad call? Because that's how Bill, you know, Bill doesn't come.
You think it's punishment? You think Bill punished him for getting his head too big? Because he copyrighted his
face? Yes.
I love this
theory. Are you kidding me?
I love this theory.
I'm telling you. I'm like,
why didn't I think of that?
That is how Bill thinks.
It had nothing to do with the wind or anything like that. So, it's that you got too to do big with the game for the ruin.
Oh, you want to go get trademarks?
Okay.
You want to lose your trademark?
Have a seat over here.
Oh, you want to? Oh, you're MJ 10. Oh, you're Mac 10 now. Oh, okay.
Ted's been right about everything else.
I love that.
He has been.
I'll roll with it. It had nothing to do with any other.
If I'm Mac Jones, I'm a little worried. It might be because of that.
All right, there you go. Ted's been right about everything
my
else.
My favorite theory of the morning.
Shame on me.
All right, Ted Johnson, thank you so much. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.